As the season hits its stride at Tango, we speak to a man who not only is keeping the plate spinning here, but also has an eye on Boston, even working on programming for future years at Tanglewood.
Smiling Tony Fogg has been artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra since 1994 and assistant music director in the planning and selection of all BSO concerts and repertoire.
A pianist by training, he is one of our favorites to chat with, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Tony back to our round table. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Alan. Always a great pleasure. Honor to be here.
Mark Volpe still here, of course. And so how many times a day do you two chat? I mean, is it just a constant stream of communication, or
We just commune.
Yeah.
At this point, you just
there are no words expressed. It's just
a lot of grunting and
telepathy.
Yeah. So we have these two guys. One's a clarinetist, a very good clarinetist.
Past tense, Alan. Past tense.
Well, you still doodle around on it, don't you? Sometimes, yeah.
Doodle around.
That's exactly what I do. Is I doodle around. Thank you. Good choice of verbs.
And Tony is a great pianist.
That's why he built a new campus.
Rusty.
Doodle
right.
around.
And when you look at the guys who you've chosen who are performing, do you ever think in the back of your mind, I could be doing that?
In my dreams, I do.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To play the Brahms D minor concerto with the Boston Symphony, there would be nothing greater in my life than that.
But it's not happening. You control that decision. You can book yourself. it would probably get some attention.
Come on, Mark. Let's make that happen.
I signed the contract. He'd have to be on both sides of the negotiation. When I was general manager in Baltimore, I played quite a bit in the orchestra in the summers, and it was the funniest thing. I had to negotiate with myself. So I was the highest paid fifth clarinet player in the history of fifth clarinet.
Clarinet.
There are very few pieces that require five clarinets, but with good reason.
Well, great clarinet players do things. My twin brother, Lewis, once cracked his clarinet over a guy's head in a parade because he was offended by
your brother did that?
He did.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
He just got out about 3 months ago.
Tony Fogg, we were talking right before the break about Lang Lang coming back. I know it was mentioned in the Times article, originally scheduled to play Tchaikovsky's first concerto and then moved to Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 24 in C minor. What went into that decision of coming back, and when did you know that this would sort of be his return?
Well, we'd been holding Lang Lang for this opening night for a couple of years, I must say.
Wow.
And it was planned to be Tchaikovsky, and then he unfortunately was sidelined with this problem with his left hand, and we kept in pretty close contact with his team, and it was around December that they were fairly confident that he'd be back able to play with us, but the suggestion was that he might do the Mozart C minor concerto, which is physically less taxing, musically no less taxing than the Tchaikovsky concerto. And this was a piece that he recorded, of course, with the Vienna Philharmonic and Niklas Annenkor, one of the great specialists in Mozart. And so when Andres heard about this possibility, he was thrilled because he knew this recording and said, oh gosh, yes, I'd love a chance to do that. So it wasn't, of course, we all love the Tchaikovsky concerto, but this great concerto by Mozart is an amazing piece. And to hear the ideas of this fascinating young artist, inspired, tutored, however one describes it, by his work with the Vienna Phil and Niklas Annenkor, we thought was musically just a different but equally as interesting prospect.
It's tonight's program, and it's a great program. Mozart first half, Tchaikovsky.
Can't beat it.
It's one of the great piano concertos. That being said, at some point we probably will program the Tchaikovsky piano concerto.
Yeah. Is that a signal to your colleague?
No.
We will, as we might. We will.
Chances are.
But I have a question. You know, 2 years in advance, that's something. But what makes you, Tony, a superstar in our field, in this field, not ours but yours, is that, you know, inevitably somebody doesn't show up. And then on a dime, not 2 years in advance, but 2 days in advance, you got to find somebody.
Well, look, I don't – superstar's very nice – description.
Well, of course you are. It's the greatest orchestra in the world.
It's just the job that has to be done. And look, and that happens. And with a machine as big and as complex as Tanglewood, it's inevitable that a few wheels are going to fall off along the way. In fact, we've had that next week when we've had to find a replacement tenor for our performance of La Boheme. the tenor singing Rodolfo withdrew several days ago on Monday, in fact. So
why?
He was asked, and we graciously agreed to release him to take over a production of Lohengrin at the Bayreuth Festival. Uh-huh. It's with a conductor with whom he had a long association, and the circumstances were very complicated. This is Piotr Bechala. I'm not breaking any news because this has been in the press elsewhere.
Right.
Being collegial and realizing that there are often problems which need to be helped by fellow festivals colleagues, we agreed to release him. And so the last few days have been spent for me finding a replacement, and we have a terrific replacement that we'll be announcing very shortly.
Well, he shouldn't have done it because Wagner is not one of my favorites.
We're aware of that.
We're aware of that.
That's on the record, Alan.
Recognize, you know, Tang would redo it once, and obviously Bayreuth, there was going to be a series of performances, so financially and otherwise, it made more sense.
But I think it sounds nice. I mean, I may be a little stickier than this, but it sounds nice that there's a collegiality amongst the festivals and amongst the industry at some point you're going to need somebody.
It's happened elsewhere, and the tenor that we have coming in has been very graciously released from another set of engagements. So it works all round. And in moments like this, we all realize what the issues are and the relative priorities, and we just try and work through them.
Okay, so I'll ask this question. We have about 3 minutes left, so I'll ask this question to both of you, beginning with Tony. But as for the concert goer, for the Tanglewood attendee, what should they be looking forward to over the next several weeks?
They should be looking forward to a very full picture of Leonard Bernstein being painted here at the festival, not only through his own music, but we've included many of his so-called signature works, pieces that he conducted often here at Tanglewood elsewhere. And so we hope to draw a very comprehensive image of Bernstein as composer, as conductor, as educator, as inspirer, as great personality through the range. And so I hope that that's exactly what everyone should be looking for. And there's so many individual highlights or great moments, it would be difficult to select one over the other.
Well, starting with Saturday night, you just had a compliment of folks who are, and it's one of the best things the Pops have done.
Phenomenal performance, and everyone should be here on Saturday night for On the Town. It's a great, great score, and this production is so imaginative, incredible. Yeah.
And I would bookend that with, on the 25th, his actual birthday, the world's focus will be here. We have all the people that have had relationships, Michael Tilson Thomas, Christoph Eschenbach, of course, Andres and John Keith. And so it's one of those performances and casts that only what Tony and Tanglewood can put together. And
Can it be sold out?
The shed's already sold out.
Is there ever a point that the lawn is sold out yet?
Yeah, we have an understanding with the towns that when we hit 18,000, we shut it down. And we hit that more than a handful or so times, a film night might approach that with John Williams, and this time Andres Nelson's conducting the first half. So, and it's not so much as plenty, there's 530 acres, there's plenty of space to put people, you just can't get them in and out. I mean, there's two lanes in, two lanes out, so we've had the experience where we've shut down a good part of Western Mass.
I remember one James Taylor night.
James with John Williams and a few other elements of that, and I still get emails about it.
Yeah. Sure. I remember people coming into the orchestra and sitting down in the middle of the performance.
When you
got to get out.
Yeah. And so, anyhow, my favorite story with that, which if you have a second, is I had to go in
we
front of this.
24 of them.
24. Stockbridge Selectmen called me in. Obviously, I had to apologize and profusely.
You have to take your hat off.
Yeah. They have it, obviously, in public, their loop, their whatever they call that, and it's stuck. And the kid who was running the sound forgot to put the sound on. So they actually, after I got back to my office, they called me and said, "You want to come and do it again?" And I said, "No."
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Volpe, Tony Fogg, it is great to have you both here. Mark is the managing director. Tony Fogg is the artistic administrator. Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to be here. I thank you so much thank you for keep inviting us back. And thank you for being so welcoming. And we love having you on our program. And we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Great to have you here.
Thank you very
much.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.